if you're still here or if there are others here, let it be settled. God is for us. Grace to you. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. Gone too far. Thank you. Okay. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Has blessed us. He's chosen us that we should be holy and blameless before Him. We often use the word and talk about freedom. What do we really mean by freedom? And I would like to suggest to you, really, to be free is to be free from the downward pull to self-centered living and free to live holy and blameless lives. That's what the connection is there. Chosen us that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Remember, God says, be holy, for I am holy. We're adopted. He's adopted us to Himself as sons. And I thought, adoption, that's an interesting word, isn't it? And in our church, we talk a lot about fostering and adoption. And fostering is fantastic because it gives people opportunity, but adoption, now there's something else. Because adoption, you get a new name. And adoption, you get an inheritance. I remember somebody saying, I won't use names, but saying to their children, of course, if these people come and live, are adopted and come live with us, they share the inheritance. Instead of you getting a half each, you're only going to get a quarter. Well, praise God that He is so rich that the more that are adopted into His family, the inheritance doesn't get diluted. It's the same. It's the same. But there is a difference. To be an adopted, you belong. You have a name. You have an inheritance. And we'll see more of that in a bit. He has redeemed us by His blood. We have forgiveness of sins. And I like the phrase redeemed because it means it's a price has been paid. It's not cheap grace. A price was paid. Jesus paid the price. But He has secured our forgiveness. And He is making known to us His plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. I think it's really important for us to kind of grasp this big plan because it's part of our shedding the skin of individualism and thinking more of community. But we're a community that's part of a big plan. And Paul talks about it and he says it's to unite all things in Him, things in heaven, things on earth. You could say that everything in the universe that is out of kilter with God, He's going to unite it all in Jesus. And that is the future that He has for us. In Romans 8, Paul says about this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." You see, even the world in which we live, the created world in which we live and move and experience, isn't how it was intended to be. Because of our rebellion against God, nature is out of kilter with God as well. But there's going to be a time when this earth is going to be restored and come under the control of Jesus, who spoke to the waves and told them to be still. And I wanted to read Revelation 21:2 because it speaks of this future hope. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation 21. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. The sea is referred to as a dangerous place. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things are passed away." And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." This is our inheritance, a place in this new heaven and earth. And I think this is captures something of the hope that we have. We talk a lot about having hope. What does hope mean? Well, it's more than being in heaven. It's more than not having pain and suffering. It's being part of this restored world order that God is going to bring into this place. He's going to renew the universe, and we have a part to play in it. And because of that hope, Paul is able to go through sufferings because he can see an inheritance, a prize that is so much more than his sufferings, that he's willing to push through to be part of that inheritance. And that's the future, but what about the present? Paul says that we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Because there is a future, but we're living in the present. And God knows that we need the Holy Spirit to be our seal of authenticity. It's the down payment, if you like, of all that we're going to inherit, his presence with us by the Spirit. So we have a future hope, but we have a promise, a guarantee now of that coming into reality in due time. It's that kind of thought that launches Paul off into a kind of a prayer, I imagine, of thanksgiving. And he says he's thankful for the mark he sees him of a true believer. He's giving thanks because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints. Just as we want to grow in our faith in the Lord Jesus, we also should desire to grow in our love for all the saints, including the difficult, not so lovely ones. Be patient with me, I'm a work in progress. Okay. But then he goes on to pray for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. And we do need that revelation to really be able to grasp these things. There are spiritual realities, and we need our eyes to be open to be able to actually grasp them in such a way that they actually transform the way we think and behave and speak. And so he talks about this hope, the glorious inheritance, as I've described, which is future. And he talks about the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead and caused him to ascend into the Father's presence. That power, he says, is available to us now. Wow, that is amazing. So when we find things difficult to do, challenges that are difficult for us, Paul is saying to us, be encouraged. God's Holy Spirit is in you to give you the power to do what you need to do and what he wants you to do. So there's hope for the future, but there's power for the present. Thank you. Oh, I like that. Because he says Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Firstly, Christ is seated, and this is the first place where the sit bit comes from my introduction. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's the place of authority, it's the place of power, and he is above all rule and authority. That means that there is no power in the universe that Jesus is not Lord over. And this was important to the Gentiles, who had all kinds of manners of gods who they felt had some kind of power. And Jesus, Paul is saying, Jesus is above every power. So it means, of course, that his purposes cannot be thwarted. That it's not possible that all that he has promised won't be fulfilled, because he has absolute power and there is nothing that can stop him from achieving what he set out to do. And he says that he's been made head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What is he saying? Various people interpret that slightly differently, but Paul goes on to say, through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so that you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Well, in the Old Testament, we read about God wanting to be with his people, and when he had delivered them out of Egypt, brought them into the promised land, he gave them instructions which identified to that they would become a very different people from those around them. And God gave Moses the instructions for building of a tabernacle, a portable structure, a tent. And when it was built, God filled it with his glory such that nobody else could enter. And it was a demonstration that God was actually resident amongst his people. And when God wanted the children to move on, he would indicate that by a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. But the significant thing was the tabernacle was filled by God's presence. And then when the children of Israel had occupied the land, the enemies had been defeated, peace had been established, there was the opportunity for the building of a permanent structure, the temple. David earnestly desired to build this temple for God, but God said, no, you're a man of war, it's your son Solomon who's going to do it, but I'll give you the instructions and you can prepare the materials. Significant thing for us is that when the temple was built, Solomon dedicated the temple and the same thing happened. The glory of God, God's own presence, came down and filled that place such that nobody else could enter it. But they were aware that God was with them. In John's Gospel, when he talks about Jesus appearing on the scene, he says in the first chapter of John's Gospel that Jesus, the Word, who was eternally with the Father, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. One of the translations says tabernacled amongst us, because he wants to make a reference to the Old Testament. And John goes on to say, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. But Jesus has gone back to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. He's a physical body now. I found it interesting, I spoke to someone a little while ago and they hadn't quite grasped this, that Jesus is actually a man He has a physical body. It's different from our body because he can appear and disappear. But nevertheless, he has a body. We have a man in heaven, a representative of us, our humanity, at the Father's right hand. And he said, when I go, it's important that I go because I'm going to send the Spirit to be with you. And that's the glory of Pentecost, is that God sent his Spirit to abide in them. And that was manifest by this rushing wind, the fire that was upon them. They knew that God was present with them. And the glory for the church is in this verse. He's building a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We, now hear this, we, the body of Christ, is meant to be for his dwelling. That is such a huge thing. I can't get my head around this. But we need to pray, God, just reveal more of this truth to us. You want to be so in us that when people see us, they say, wow, I've just had an encounter with God. We don't think that's too fanciful, because it certainly was the experience of some in the New Testament, that coming into the presence of a congregation of people who are worshipping, loving, serving, they can't see God, but they can see him in us. 30 years ago, a guy came to our church and said, who am I? And they said, oh, you're Tom Smith. He said, how do you know? Well, we can see your body. Yeah? That's the point. We are meant to so capture, if you like, not quite sure whether that's the word, but that we should so be filled with the presence of God that people see him here, feel him here. Now, we do have testimonies of that happening. Oh, when I come into this place, you know, I feel loved, I feel welcomed. Great. And as I said at the beginning, this is good. This is good. Keep on going, keep on going. But there's more for us to experience of his fullness. There's more to experience of his fullness. And all of that is part of the motivation, isn't it? Why do I get involved with relationships that are too difficult, messy? Because it's worth it. It's worth it, not just for us, because we will be benefiting from it, but it's God's desire to be indwelling us as a congregation and to express his life out to the world. Which brings us on, I guess. Got to move quickly now. Yeah. Yeah, so Paul goes on to say, you were dead in trespasses and sins, you were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, living in the passions of our flesh. So the world, the flesh, and the devil are there. That's how we were before we became Christians. But God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, made us alive, not dead, and has seated us with him in the heavenly places. This is the second place where the sitting comes in. First three chapters, sit. The great thing is that Paul is saying to us, not only is Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, we also are seated with him in the heavenly places. Wow, this is just mind-blowing stuff, isn't it? So the same, because we are in Christ Jesus, that's a key, very important phrase, we are seated with him now in heavenly places. And because it's a fact that's happened now, we're experiencing it in part, but we'll experience it in its fullness later. But he's saying, this is really a reality now that we are seated with him in heavenly places. Wow. And this is what Watchman Nee was trying to get across to us, is, chill out, guys. Don't strive and stress. Realize that God's Spirit is within you to enable us to do the things that we want to do. And the stuff that he's going to talk about later in chapters 4 and 5 about how we relate to one another needs to be seen in this context, really, of the plan that God has for us and the fact that we are seated with him in Christ. So we are secure. I love the more I go on, I'm so pleased about the Freedom in Christ course that we run on a regular basis, because it touches on so much of this. The significance, security and the acceptance that we have in Christ, because we're seated with him, should mean I don't have to prove myself. I'm secure in God. He loves me. He accepts me. He sees me as his son. He's given me an inheritance. I'm untouchable now. You know, it doesn't matter about me because I've got all this. So if somebody, you know, is rude to me, I should be saying, well, okay, that wasn't a good thing to do, but I'm not going to take that on board. I'm not going to get offended, you know, because I'm secure in God. I know who I am. He knows me. There's so many ramifications of this, and we'll seek to unpack this, and I'm sure other speakers that are going to take up some of the nuts and bolts of our relationships will be coming back to this, because we're functioning, we're relating with one another from a place of security, significance and acceptance, seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. But Paul does give us a little look-see into chapters 4 and 5 with the continuation of his expression of being seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God's got a plan for us, and we will be walking in them in future weeks, but do so from a position of relaxed sitting in the heavenly places in Christ. A new community. Well, a lot of it has already been said, and when I sort of reflected on this, I thought, we've said it all, really, which is just as well, because it's 5 to 12. I'm going to pass over that. I'm passing over that because it had really massive implications for Jewish-Gentile relationships in the New Testament church. Those who were converted from a Jewish background, most of them kept on wanting to say, yeah, but you Gentiles, you've got to be circumcised and you've got to do these food laws and all that stuff. And Paul says, no, Christ has abolished those things and made us one in him. That's no longer required. Christ is the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament types and ceremonies. So we kind of don't really get that much anyway, so I'm not going to talk about it a lot. But what is significant is that whatever our background, whatever our cultural background, and I love it that we got folks in this congregation from different parts of the world, is that he's making us one in Christ, and that because we have people from different parts, it just reinforces the fact, hey guys, we're one body in Christ, and that we have a worldwide family, not just in little old SCF, but we are a part of it. So Paul goes on to say, of this gospel, I, the Apostle Paul, was made a minister so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose which is realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So the church is a witness to the principalities and powers, good and evil powers. The church is the witness of God to the world. That's the outflow of containing the presence of God, being a vessel for him to fill, is that we become a witness to the principalities of powers and to human beings. And it causes Paul to pray. He keeps on doing this, doesn't he? For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know, that means to experience, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And just in case any of us think, that's not possible. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, the Holy Spirit, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What a good conclusion that would be. I hope you're kind of up for this. I hope you're motivated to say, yes, I'm going to be part. I am in. And as Sue alluded to, we'll provide you with loads of resources and you can pick and mix, whatever you like. There's an old tome called The Message to Ephesians by John Stott. It's still available. It's still being published because it's such a good book. He goes through Ephesians in some depths. You'll get a great deal out of this. 311 pages, but it's good reading if you want to really go deep. Tom Wright writes a series for everyone, Paul for everyone. He's a bit of a theologian, so he writes theological books, which are tough to go through, but he writes this series, Paul for Everyone, and I find it very easy reading. So there's the prison letters, which is in one book he's got these commentaries on Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians and Philemon, 78 pages on Ephesians, 227 pages in total. He's done a study guide that goes with it, and I mentioned Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee, which is only 64 pages and is easy reading. So, shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the amazing fact that you have brought us into your great plan to unite all things in yourself. All the trouble and turmoil and conflict that we see in the world, you're going to bring to an end to it. It's not going to be ended by nuclear war. It's going to be ended when you say it's going to be ended, and you return in great power and glory upon the clouds. And we'll be caught up with you in the air, and we'll just begin to understand the things that we're grappling with, trying to understand here. Please open our eyes that we'd have understanding of these things and help us to pursue you and to pursue this great calling of being your body here on earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.